Good to be in the presence of God.
Yeah, amen, amen. To know that he is not just there, but he is here, amen. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, he's not just here, he's here. Yeah, amen. Let's pray together. Father, what an overwhelming good thing you have done by calling sinners to become the places where you dwell, to make us into temples who once were idol worshipers and worshipers of ourselves, temples to our own way. You saved us, redeemed us, cleansed us, washed us, and you've called us to be the very dwelling place. And so we are grateful this morning. We recognize your presence in us, here in this room, in a very powerful way this morning. And so we are here now to be sensitive to, alert to, listening to you and your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm so glad you're here. How many are glad we're on the other side of an election? Amen. Amen and amen. And I can't talk about it for 3 weeks without saying this today. I want to give God all the glory for what he has done in our nation. Amen. Look, I know that we as Christians would say, we're going to pray for whatever governing authorities are over us. The Bible tells us that. And I know we want peace and unity in our nation. I want that. But times have changed. It's no longer two different parties who just have a different idea about how taxing should happen. We have come upon a day in which there is one party who has aligned themselves with the doctrine of demons, with death and destruction and perversion and a rejection of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, I can't align myself with that. I can't be at peace with that. I can't stand in a circle with someone who believes in a transgender ideology and hates God and sing kumbaya with them. I just can't do that. Hello? That's not what we're called to in Jesus Christ. James says in the New Testament, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. And so I'm grateful that God has shown mercy to our land and that the nation as a whole has spoken, the majority have spoken and said, we don't want gender fluidity. We don't want men participating in women's sports. We don't want transgender ideology, especially in our classrooms. We don't want critical race theory. We don't want open borders. We don't want climate activism. We don't want excessive governmental control. We don't want that. And the Bible tells us that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And when the wicked man rules, the people groan. I'm tired of groaning. It's time to rejoice. Now, please understand me. I am not saying that Trump or anybody else that was elected are righteous people. I don't know them personally. But I know the policies and the party platforms, and what I know is that now the needle has moved much more toward what our founding fathers had in mind. And for that, I can be grateful. Amen? Amen. Jesus is still on the throne, and we worship him. We depend upon him. We don't depend upon the president of our land or Congress to be our savior. But boy, we are glad when those have righteous policies rule again in our land. For that, I'll give him the glory. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're starting a brand new series today. And I will say, this is going to feel different today. I'm going to do some sitting, if that's okay. Because we've been in this mini series for a while that's much more, rah, let's go. And there's a time in that. There's a time for that. And there's a place for preaching and a call to action. But there's also a time and a place for teaching, for let's let's dig down into some scriptures a little bit more. Let's understand some things about who God is. One of the things that I get asked very often is, how do I hear the Spirit of God and sense Him moving in my life? That's a very good question for anyone, but especially the believer. But even for the unbeliever, how do I know that it's God? That's really the same question that a lot of believers ask. How do I know when it's God? How do I know when it's not just me or my thoughts or what someone else told me? The Bible tells us that as followers of Jesus Christ, His Spirit has come to dwell in us. Not like He's come to visit Holiday Inn, hallelujah, where He checks in and He might check out, but He has come and made Himself one with us. He is one with us. Impossible to be pulled apart from us and us be pulled apart from Him now. Praise God. He didn't take up residence to leave. He came in and made us new by reviving our spirit and becoming one with our spirit. And so His Spirit, the very essence of God, now dwells in us. That's a great thing. And the Bible says He is there as a comforter. He teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. He reminds us of the things that Jesus said. And He wants us to walk in a sensitivity to Him so that we're aware of the Spirit, not just here in this moment, but as I'm walking throughout my life, as I'm having conversations, as I'm at work, as I'm in my home, as I'm having family over, all of that. I'm hearing the Spirit of God, because if I'm not sensing the Spirit of God and leading and feeling and knowing His leading, then I'm simply just acting off of my own logic. I'm just working off my own emotions. I'm just going off of what I think is the best approach. And that is not what God's called us to just figure it out, use our own logic, lean on our emotions, or analyze and come up with our plans. If that's how a Christian lives, I can say this because I know this. If that's how a Christian lives, then you end up frustrated, empty, and with a whole lot more doubt than you do confidence. Can we all agree on that? And we don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it when I'm operating out of my own understanding. It's confusing. It's frustrating. I second guess myself all the time. I'm uncertain. I'm weak. And I fall in for temptation instead of following the Spirit. That's not what we're called to. God has called us to know His Spirit in us and follow its lead. And so what it leads to is someone who is spiritually awkward. They don't know how to hear, sense, and follow. It's kind of like someone that you and I might say is relationally awkward. Have you ever been around someone who's relationally awkward? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, that person is relationally awkward? you know what I'm saying? You know, you get in a situation, there's other people, and you say the wrong thing, and you do the wrong thing, and it makes everybody feel awkward, and then they just turn around and they walk away, and like, why did I say that? Can anybody relate? Yeah, okay, thank you. We all can get into that category sometimes. And you don't want to be there, because it makes you feel clunky, and it makes everybody else cringe. They're like, oh, why did they do that? Why did they say that? Why did they tell that joke right then with that person in the circle? Right? Well, in the same way, we don't like it when we are relationally awkward. None of us really like it when we are spiritually awkward, when we're not sensing and following the Spirit's lead in our life. Now, I can already tell you today, there are some people in the room who have a great advantage in this message today. Ladies, it's you. God has created women with an ability to be more intuitive emotionally and relationally than men. It's just part of God's design. Thank you. Ladies, it's okay to agree. Husbands, it's okay to agree. Amen? This is why, guys, your women in your life will say to you, I don't really trust that person. And you'll say, well, I don't know what's wrong with them. She'll say, I'm just telling you. Well, tell me why. I can't tell you why. I'm just telling you. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. That's because God created you ladies that way. You are far more intuitive, and you can't even always put handles to it. You can't always give 7 reasons why. Sometimes you can, and he still won't listen, right? So ladies, you're ahead of the game here. And when you are born again and have the Spirit of God in you, it makes a pretty powerful combo for a woman who is intuitive and then spiritually intuitive and in tune. I rely on some women in my life for that very purpose, because they see and sense things that as a man, I do not. So I need Heather for that in my life. I appreciate Heather for that. I need her for a lot more than that, but I need her for that in my life. And my daughters and the ladies on our staff and the women here in this church. When a woman comes to tell me something, I'm keyed in, because I know they're sensing things that I don't. So when a woman knows how to sense the Spirit of God, they become a very powerful tool in the hand of God. And when a man learns it, he graduates from caveman status, right? He becomes a powerful tool in God's hand as well. He will never be as great as she can be. This is just true, guys. But it's important for us to learn to listen and be in tune with the Spirit of God and know how to recognize his pulse, his words to us, and his leading in our life. If not, you're just driving blind. You're just going down the road, and the only reason you know you're going the wrong way is you just ran into a tree, right? That's not what we're called to. We're called to this walk that is sensitive to the Spirit of God, where you're led by the Spirit of God. He is the leading voice in our life. So today we begin a brand new series with a message today that I'm calling How to Hear Holy. How do you hear the Holy Spirit in your life? And what we're going to do in this series from now to the end of the year is look at a woman in Scripture who I think gives us this iconic example in a very specific moment of how to hear holy. The woman is Mary in the Christmas story. She is a young girl. Some believe she was only 13 when the angel appears to her. Can you just imagine, ladies, yourself at 13, an angel appears to you and gives you an announcement about your life that is about to turn you and everything you know upside down. I don't know whether she's 13. I can get with some of the logic behind that. But in some ways, whether she was 13, 23, or 33, it's just as powerful. The angel Gabriel appears to her with the announcement that she is going to give birth to the Son of the Highest, the one who will reign on the throne of David, the one who will be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And her response to that message is where we are going to center for the next several weeks, so that we can get to the place where we say, I hear you, God, and I know that's my King talking to me. That's not my thoughts. That's not my emotions. That's not the enemy. That's not the world. That's not just my friend group. That's you. That's my King. Amen? Amen. So the message for today is how to hear holy. It's part of the series called That's My King. So turn in your Bibles today to Luke chapter 1. Verse 35 is where we're starting today. And we're going to see this story. And again, we enter the story in the middle of a pretty dramatic encounter where the angel has spoken to Mary and told her what God is going to do. And she responds and says, wait a minute. How can any of this be? How can I have a baby, much less the Son of God, when I don't even know a man? Now, it's not that she didn't know some men in her life, but she meant know a man, if you know what I mean. She had never had any kind of physical relation with a man, and so how in the world can she give birth to the Son of God when she's never even known anyone that could cause her to give birth, much less the Son of God? It's a fair question. It's really a question you and I ask. How can God do something in me when I don't have a past of being godly? I don't have a reason in me for being godly. And so the angel is going to answer and to help Mary, and she's going to learn how to hear holy. So, verse 35, it says, and the angel answered and said to her, here's how it's going to happen, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. There's a couple of things I want you to see here. I want you to see that all of this is happening from the angel's perspective in future tense. You see it? Will be, who is to be. In other words, it hasn't happened yet for her, but it will be. I want you to also notice that it's the Holy Spirit who will come upon her. When God moves in men and women, it's by his Holy Spirit. I know we talk about asking Jesus into our life, but what technically is happening is that we are turning from our sin, repenting, confessing Jesus as Lord, and when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes in and ignites us, and we are born a new person. The Holy Spirit is the one who moves in us, okay? That's important to understand, because it is the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who interacts with us, who moves in us. And the angel says this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. This interesting terms here used, come upon you and overshadow you. They are both terms that mean you are there and all of a sudden you are overwhelmed by. He shows up not to attack, but to completely engulf and overwhelm you. And this is how the Holy Spirit comes. He comes, and we don't even know sometimes where he comes from. Like Jesus said, no one knows where the wind comes, but they see the effects of the wind, right? The Holy Spirit comes and all of a sudden he's there and he's moving. And the angel says, this is what's going to happen for you, Mary. You're going to all of a sudden sense this awareness that God is there. Now, this is important. I'm going to try to stay seated today, but I already know I can't. The Holy Spirit, listen, speaks spirit. That's important to know. I'm not talking about speaks in tongues. I'm talking about the Spirit moves in spirit. He moves in the regions of us that are deeper than our thoughts, deeper than our emotions. And all of a sudden, there's this awareness that God is present. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever sensed that before? Like, oh my Lord, you are here. And there's just all of a sudden clear awareness that He is near and in you and moving all of a sudden. That is a good thing to recognize that. A lot of people recognize it but don't know what to do next. We're going to get there. The angel says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will overshadow you. And you will then give birth to the one called the Son of God. You will have this awareness of God's holiness, an awareness of His power, an awareness of His goodness, an awareness of His forgiveness for your sin, an awareness that He loves you, an awareness that He is calling you, an awareness that He is all around you and with you. So if you're going to listen to the Spirit, you got to tune in to the channel of Spirit. Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He didn't mean those who have physical ears. He meant those who have ears of the Spirit to listen. Now, this is where I'll get back to women. You tend to be more intuitive than us clunky men are. So, guys, you're going to have to dial it in today, because if you want to, like an old AM/FM radio in the 70s, you got to... You got to dial that sucker in. Today, it's just digital push buttons, boop, and all of a sudden, the channel's there. Hey, you hadn't lived till you had an AM/FM radio and your 75 Nova driving down the road trying to dial into some station, and you can't get it, and then the next day, it's like it's gone. Like, oh, yeah, enough about old times. The Spirit comes, and then we must listen on the channel of Spirit. So if you're writing down points today, here's our first big point. Listen to the Spirit in your spirit. The Spirit of God is not going to talk to you in audible ways that other people standing around you would hear. He's Spirit. In fact, the Bible tells us God is Spirit. I know sometimes we have an image of God sitting on a throne in heaven. I hate to burst your bubble. He's not. God is Spirit. The only visible form of God in heaven is Jesus, who is also God. He's seated on the throne. But the Bible tells us that God is Spirit. And if you want to hear Spirit, you got to listen in Spirit, in your own spirit. I'm not talking ooey-gooey, ethereal stuff. I'm talking about the realities of your life. The Spirit speaks, and He speaks into places like your conscience. When all of a sudden you're aware, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. That is the Holy Spirit, boop, speaking Spirit to you. Or the Spirit speaks also to remind you of how much you're loved. When all of a sudden you have this sense of, oh, wow, I all of a sudden... It's like God has wrapped His arms around me. That's Spirit speaking to your spirit. If you've ever had a moment where you have sensed this real sense of acceptance before God, that's the Spirit moving. If you've ever sensed His forgiveness washing over you, that's the Spirit moving. But you have to learn to listen to Spirit if you want to hear Spirit. So He speaks in places like your conscience. He speaks in places like your own identity, your worth. When you are wrestling with whether you have worth or not, and voices around you are telling you one thing, and you look at your past, and all of a sudden you have this sense of, wait a minute, in Jesus Christ, I have all worth. That's the Spirit who's speaking to you in that moment. Learn to hear Spirit. This is a skill that Christians have to learn. If you don't know it, don't beat yourself up this morning, because it means you're in process of learning that. Amen? It's a skill you learn, but you got to shut out some things before you can hear some things. Conscience, worth, your identity, even peace. Have you ever been in a situation and it's just absolutely out of control, but you say inside, I have real peace about this? that's from the Spirit of God. So if you want to know the Spirit's moving, you got to listen on the level of Spirit. And when he speaks, it will always be consistent with his word. If you're looking for, I'm sensing something. Is that God? Run to your Bible pretty quick. Look and see what it says about that. If what you are sensing does not align with the Bible, that's not the Spirit of God. But if you're sensing and you look in the Bible and you find confirmation, then you can say, that's my king. That's my king talking to me. And I'm going to go with it. So back to the story. Verse 36. I'm sorry. We're going to jump to 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. This is her response to the angel, what he said. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, yes, I hear you. That's my king. And now, let it be to me according to your word. Do you want to know the moment where conception actually happened in Mary? When the Son of God actually was conceived in her? It wasn't when the angel said, it will be. It's right now when she says, let it be to me. Life. The Holy Son of God was conceived in her as a miracle. Because she chose to believe, she said yes to the Spirit, and life began. Whew. This is where life comes from in us. When you say yes to the Spirit, boom, life comes alive in you. It's how you began your walk with Christ, and it's how you continue. Spirit speaks, and you say, let it be to me according to your word. Boom, promise just pow, comes alive in you. And life begins to take place in you. Amen? Point number two this morning. You want to hear, you want to know that's my king? Then submit yourself as a servant to the king. You got to put yourself in that place where you say, like Mary, I don't understand how this can happen. I haven't known a man. I don't even know what pregnancy feels like. I've never given birth before. I don't even know what this future's going to be like. It sounds like it's going to be crazy. I can't even imagine. But God, you said it, so let it be to me according to your word. You want the miraculous to happen in you? You want to walk in the Spirit? You want to hear the Spirit? Then you do the same thing. God, I can't imagine how that's going to happen in my life. I can't imagine how these promises that you've given me are going to really play out. I can't see how you're going to reconcile those relationships in my life. I can't see how you're going to cause the very character of Jesus to be formed in me. But let it be to me according to your word. You submit yourself to the king, you'll start hearing the king. When you let his voice be the biggest voice, then you'll start hearing the king. If your logic right now is the biggest voice in you, I know you're wrestling already, because I can get there. Well, God, I don't see how that could be, because I don't know, I'm trying to figure this thing out. Every time I think about how it's going to play out, I can't figure it out. Hello? But I choose to believe you, God, your promise over my logic. Yep. And I choose to believe your promise over my own emotions. I'm an emotional wreck right now, God. I'm just so filled with fear and panic and anxiety. I'm not mocking anybody. That's what I sound like when I'm in fearful anxiety, right? But God, I'm going to let your word be bigger than my anxiety, frustration, anger, bitterness, all of that. And Mary did this. Verse 39 tells us this. It says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country. She didn't show up in Hillsboro or Mahia in Texas, the hill country as we know it. And she went there with haste, the Bible says, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. These are not just a random couple that she said, yeah, I think I'll go see these folks. No, this is family. This is a This is a cousin. This is someone she knew. This is someone the angel had told her was also pregnant in a miraculous way. And so Mary said, you know what? I'm going to get myself on over to see Elizabeth because she's already walked down this road ahead of me. She knows some things. She heard God. She responded to God. She's dealing with this pregnancy. She'll know what to do. I think, way to go, Mary. Way to go for finding someone else who has already learned to hear holy. And that's important. Because sometimes the Spirit speaks to you and I, and we're like, man, I don't even know. Is that God? I don't know. The right thing to do in that moment is go get yourself with someone else who you know already hears holy. Get yourself to someone who you know God has worked in their life and go talk to them. Go sit with them. This is part of the power of the church because we're all at different places of learning to hear holy. And some of us have heard it for a while and some of us have had some success stories and some of us have had some clunky failure stories. But when you don't know, you don't know and you're spiritually clunky. So you go find someone who has learned and you get with them. Point three today, get with others, other believers who hear God. You want to learn to hear holy? Don't live this thing alone. You weren't meant to. When you were born again, you were placed into a body, the church. And the church has people of all backgrounds in it. And the church has people who are called to be leaders as well. And those leaders are responsible for knowing, hearing, and communicating. And so pastors, teachers, group leaders, man, get inside a group. Get with some other believers who hear God so that you can lean on them. They're probably going to want to talk to you and say, let me tell you what I learned. And this is how we grow in the body of Christ. You weren't meant to live your faith out in isolation. You're meant to learn to hear holy by being with others who have learned along the way. Let's go on in the passage here, verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. So she's ahead of Mary in pregnancy. She's far enough along that she can feel the baby move. Keep in mind, Mary is so early in the stage, she hadn't felt anything. She heard the angel say she is pregnant, but she can't even tell for sure she is yet. Ladies, have you ever been in that moment where you knew God was moving in you, but you couldn't quite tell how it was all going to play out yet? Men, same thing. And so here's Mary who goes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has a baby in her who is very much alive and who leaps inside when Elizabeth hears, and I believe this baby also hears, the voice of Mary. Because Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist and Mary is carrying Jesus. And John says, yo! Yeah, there's a whole lot there. Verse 42. Then she spoke out, Elizabeth, with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Verse 43. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord, she was a woman of faith, should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Take note. When Elizabeth heard it, the baby moved. Two lives, separate, very much connected. It's your body, but that body inside you belongs to your body and to God as well. Amen. Elizabeth continues just speaking blessing to Mary. And she says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. See, this is what you get when you go to someone else who knows how to hear holy. They'll speak blessing to you. They'll encourage you. They'll prop you up. They'll build you up. They'll encourage you and say, God is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do because you have believed. Man, I need those kind of people in my life. Amen? We all do. You need that person in your life who's going to, when you say to them, hey, this is what I'm thinking God's saying to me. And you risk your life and put yourself out there on the line and they say, oh, yes, I believe that's what God is saying to you. He's going to bring that to pass. And you're like, let's go. You need those kind of people in your life. You don't need people around you like, I don't know. That's probably just a burrito you had last night. And I don't know. That's just nothing. You can't really count on. Hey, if that's who you're going to for counsel, get out. Get away. Get to someone else. Get to the other believers who hear holy and surround yourself with them. Amen? You'll learn to hear holy. Now, what happens next is so powerful because Mary is about to speak. Up to this point, it's just been Elizabeth. She's talking. All we know at this point is that Mary's come in and said, hey, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth just, but now comes the moment. Mary's about to speak. And what she says is so informative for us, so powerful for us to know exactly what we're to do if we hear holy. Verse 46. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. This whole passage we're about to dive into in Latin is called the Magnificat because of this word here, magnify. It's used as a song. In fact, some believe that Mary not only says these words, but it's a beautiful poem and a song. We don't have any evidence that she actually sang it in this moment. It'd be kind of nice, you know, if she did, she may have. But it comes off as this beautiful expression of what you do when you hear holy. And this is what Mary does. What's fascinating to me is the word soul here in the Greek is the word psuche. The same word we get our word psychology from. And so here's Mary saying, God has spoken to me in my spirit by his spirit. And now my soul, my thoughts, my emotions, and my choices will all magnify the Lord. That's important because sometimes we let other things magnify in us. Sometimes we let fear magnify. Sometimes we let doubt magnify. Sometimes we let anger, fear of rejection, wanting to please people, magnify. And when they magnify, you cause the voice of God to become very, very small because all of those things are so loud. And Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. What he has said to me, I am allowing to become giant in my mind, in the way I think, and my emotions, and my choices. This is where we bring all of our, again, emotions and thoughts to bow before Jesus and say, that's my king. Emotion, you're going to have to get on your knees because that's my king. Thoughts that are racing, get on your knees. That's my king. Wild choices that just keep you going and uncertain and want to go this direction, that direction, instead of what God's called you to, that's my king. And Mary said, my soul, I am magnifying what he has said to me. I'm delighting in it. I'm thinking about all the possibilities of it. I'm not thinking about all of the dark side of it. Isn't that crazy how we do that sometimes? well, if I do that, then this person's going to do this, and this person's going to say this, and I'm not going to have enough money, and then this is going to happen next, and blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon you've talked yourself out of what the king said to you. And Mary said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to let him have the final word and be bigger in my life. In fact, she said, my soul magnifies. Fourth point this morning. You want to hear holy? Tell your psychology to submit to the king. Tell it. You need to tell it. Hey, if you're seeing a counselor or a therapist, if they're not telling you this, you need to get to a different counselor or therapist. If they're trying to just keep you going, stirred up, beat down, and they're not setting you free and pointing you to the truth that the king has spoken, now tell every racing, raging thought to bow to the king. You need to get you to another counselor or therapist. Because when the king speaks, that's not the time to wrestle with it. That's not the time to deny it. That's not the time to downplay it. That's not the time to discourage it. That's not the time to try to rationalize. That's not the time to get all up in your feels about it, unless you're going to let your feels be bowed to the king. And then like Mary, you can say, "Woo! My soul magnifies the Lord. I'm going to let all my emotions and all my thoughts run down that track about all of the goodness of this." In fact, the rest of the series of this series here, the rest of the messages are all going to be about Mary just telling why that's my king. She's going to let her thoughts run wild down that track. So again, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. I love the fact that he uses this word magnify. You and I know what telescope and microscope and zoom out means. You know what pinching your phone and doing that does. That's magnify. You're making it larger. You're causing it to be impressive. You're causing it to be bigger so that you can understand it. You're causing it to be bigger than anything else. And this is what Mary does. And you want to hear holy in your life? Then start to do that. Start to make what the king says bigger than anything else. He's spoken to me. Can you believe that? He loves me. Can you believe that? He's called me. He's forgiven me. He has a purpose for me. He's accepted me. He's good to me. He's going to work it out. He has an eternal purpose. He's forming Christ in me. He's blessed me. I have all these promises from him. Yes, go down that path. Magnify him. Let your soul magnify him. Let your soul magnify the words of the king. Now, we can't look at this word magnify without understanding that it also is an expressive term. It would never be one that you just did internally. In fact, this verse right here says, and Mary said, she said it out loud. She didn't keep it inside. She didn't huddle it. She didn't say, this is my private time with the Lord. I'm going to magnify him just so me and him know. She said, Elizabeth, thank you. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's what faith does. It expresses what the king says. It doesn't sit in isolation. It doesn't sit in silence. It expresses it. And when you break out and express it, then you start to hear holy even more. But if you've been at a place in your life where you have shut it down, denied it, silenced it, discouraged it, you may be having a problem hearing holy until right now, until this moment where the Spirit's speaking and he's speaking directly to you and you hear him. He's reminding you and showing you he loves you. There's forgiveness for you. There's purpose for you. And because he has, there's something he wants you to do. It may be just to thank him. It may be to learn to express your gratitude. It may be a very specific step that you need to take. Maybe maybe it's to come to Christ. Maybe it's to take the step to be baptized. Maybe it's to begin a process of reconciling with someone. Maybe it's another step that you're not even quite sure what it is. You're kind of like Mary and say, I need an Elizabeth. I need somebody who has heard holy to help me. You've come to the right place. There's people in this room who have heard holy, who want to help. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask our counselors to come and stand right along here, and we're going to sing a song. The song is so powerful for this moment and this expression. It's a song called Make Room. And it says to God, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. In other words, I hear you, and you're my king, and you get to say what happens next. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for being so good to send your Spirit to speak to the deepest places in us, places that go beyond words, places that go beyond our own thoughts and our own emotions, some place much deeper than that, a place in our own spirit. I thank you that that's where you speak. And I pray we would respond to that today. Whatever it is you are saying to us, may we be quick to say, that's my King speaking. And now I will do what he wants me to do. Father, I know you're here. Spirit, we know you are here. We will be sensitive to you and do just that, what you want us to do. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to ask our counselors to go ahead and come, and let's just stand across here. This place is open for you to come pray, to talk with one of them, or not talk with one of them, but hear from your King and do what he wants you to do. Amen.